Today, in the gospel, we are asked the most basic question of life. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus himself answers this question in the most explicit way when we hear the exchange between him and the blind man who can now see. Jesus asks, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "Who is he, sir? Tell me that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one speaking to you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Now, there's something that we need to understand at the outset. 78 times in the Gospels, Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. Not once, not 10, not 30, not 40, not 50, not 70, but 78 times. It was his favorite self-designation. And when we understand what this phrase, Son of Man, means, it brings to light the question he asked this blind man. Do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man thinks there's someone, yes, that I need to believe in, but who is he? So what does this Son of Man reference go back to? It goes back to the book of Daniel, chapter 7, where we have this amazing vision of the Ancient of Days. This is God, the eternal God. And as the Ancient of Days takes his throne, Daniel, the writer, says, "I had a night vision. And in my vision, behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one," catch this, "like a Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And he was given dominion and glory and kingdom that all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will not be destroyed." So when Jesus asked the question, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" this Jewish man knew that Jesus was referring to Daniel chapter 7. And so he says, "So who is he?" And Jesus says, "I am the one who is speaking to you. He, Jesus Christ, is the one who has everlasting dominion," that person promised in Daniel chapter 7. But here's the point that we have to appreciate and grasp. Be it in Jesus' day or be it in our day, Jesus always knew who he was, always knew the true nature of his being. But there are so many people, be they ancient or modern, who do not see Jesus clearly. And what's most important about the blind man was not his physical sight, but that he was given on this day spiritual insight, so that he was able to say, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Now, we heard the shortened version of today's gospel. You're glad that you got the Reader's Digest version, because if you got the long one, we'd still be listening to the gospel. But in that longer version, we see more of the conversation that goes on between the Pharisees and this blind man. And listen to how the Pharisees are talking amongst themselves. They first of all say, "This man's not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." And then they become even more vehement. They say, "This man is a sinner." And then thirdly, they say, "We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he has come from." Now catch this. "This man, this man, this man," used three times. And what does Jesus ask? "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And so there's a play on words here that St. John is wanting us to grasp, that they do see this man, but they do not see who this man truly is. And then I love the way the blind man answers them. Here's an astonishing thing. "You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes? We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he will listen to one who worships him and obeys him. Never since the world began has anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you're trying to teach us," and they drove him out. So do you see what this man does? You look at the text, it's interesting. He starts with their last assertion, We do not know where this man comes from. And he says, you've got to be kidding me. Do you know what he's just done? And then he moves from the impossibility of Jesus being a sinner because of what he has done. And then he goes on to say that now that I have this sight, surely this is conclusive proof that Jesus comes from God. But as so often happens, you see, people reject Jesus not because of the truth of the gospel, but they don't want to have to deal with what the implications of his messiahship, of his being the Son of Man, would mean. And so what do? They say to this man who's telling the truth, you are a reprobate sinner, you have nothing to teach us, and they drove him out from the synagogue. Now here's what I want to think about with you in the rest of this homily. In the ancient world, the Pharisees thought that Jesus was a bad man, that he was a sinner, and so that they would have nothing to do with him. Now, if there are people today who think about Jesus Christ, who are not Christians, but at least give him the time of day, most of them would say something like the following. I think Jesus is a great teacher, but he's not more than that. He is a very good man, but he is not God. But to say that is as damning a comment as for the Pharisees of old to say that Jesus was a sinner. And let me tell you why. Jesus is either God or he is a bad man. What we cannot say is that he was a good man and not God. Why? For if he was only a man, he had no right to call himself the Son of Man. And remember, he did it 78 times. If he is only a man and made this kind of claim, he's not a good man, he is either a liar or he is a lunatic. Let me explain what I mean. Now, what would you think of a person who went around making these claims today? I'm the Son of Man. Certainly, you wouldn't say he's a good man or he's a sage. There are only two possibilities. Either he speaks the truth or he does not speak the truth. We must believe him and worship him. And if we don't worship him, then we have to say that he is a bad man. We cannot say he is merely a good man, but not God. He is, in fact, a very bad man, either morally or intellectually. If he knows that he is not God, then he is morally bad. He is a liar, trying to deliberately deceive and blaspheme you. If he does not know that he's God, but says these things about himself, then, well, we would say that he is insane. He is a lunatic. A measure of your insanity is the size of the gap between what you think you are and what you really are. Now, take me as an example. If I thought I was the greatest priest in the Catholic Church, I'm only an arrogant fool. If I think I'm Napoleon, I'm probably over the edge. If I think I'm a butterfly, I am fully embarked from the sunny shores of sanity. But if I think I am God, I am even more insane, because the gap between something finite, me, and the infinite God is greater than the gap between two finite things, that is me and a butterfly. We cannot say Jesus was a good man, but not God. It's called the trilemma. He is either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. Those are the only three options. He's not a liar or lunatic, and I'll tell you why. There is no one who in his teaching was more in his right mind than Jesus Christ. There was no one in the way he related to people where he showed how present and completely with them he was. So we cannot, in all honesty, read the four Gospels and think there's anything of lunacy or anything of a liar in the person of Jesus Christ. His practical wisdom, his ability to read human hearts, to understand people, to understand their pressing questions, his compassion, his care, his love. These all point to someone who is not a lunatic and he is not a liar. Well, if Jesus is not a lunatic and he is not a liar, we are only left with one other option. He is Lord. He is the Son of Man. And this is something for us as Catholics that we need to reaffirm in our day. Because you'll maybe have conversations with people at time where they will say, yes, I do think Jesus is a good teacher, but he is not God. But he does not leave us with that option. Remember I said at the beginning of this homily, 78 times he referred to himself as the Son of Man. He had in mind Daniel chapter 7. In John's gospel, he also repeatedly says, I am. And in one of the most telling places, he says, before Abraham was, I am. So you are here this evening because you already know that Jesus is your Lord. Maybe some of you are here this evening and you have been wrestling with this. Yes, he's a good man, but is he truly God? And I hope for you, particularly, that I'm speaking this evening, that you will come to see more closely and more fully it is improbable and illogical and not according to the gospel to come to that conclusion. May each of us come to greater insight. May each of us have the eyes of our heart opened so that increasingly we can say with the man in today's gospel, Lord, I believe, and grow in our worship of Jesus. So let me end this homily by asking this question. Knowing that Jesus is Lord, what difference does this make to how I live my life each and every day? St. Paul, in that reading from Ephesians, gives us the answer. To declare that you are Lord, Jesus Christ, means that now I recognize I am called to live as a child of the light. We have been given insight into who Jesus truly is. This means that your life, your life, your life, your life, your life, my life, our life, the rest of our earthly life is to be spent in the pursuit of what Paul says is good, pleasing, and true. That which is good. That which is pleasing, that which is true. In other words, we are to grow in lives of virtue. Any men here? Next Saturday, I'm doing a men's retreat on the cardinal and theological virtues. I would encourage you to come if you can, because we need to know how to apply the virtues to our lives so that we can grow in ways that are good, pleasing, and true. And at the same time, we need to disassociate ourselves from those who participate, as St. Paul says, in the unfruitful works of darkness. And Paul's so telling in that epistle, he says, we don't even want to talk about what some people do in the dark. For those who call Jesus Lord, what they're learning to do in the dark is the same as what they do in the light, because he is the light of the world, and he is bringing that light into our lives. This is a much harder way to live. It's easier to come to the conclusion that Jesus is either a sinner or just a good man, because then I can just live my life any way I want to. But when we say he is Lord, we are then called in our daily lives to be inspired to grow in holiness. We are to, in the words of St. Paul, awake from spiritual slumber, we are to arise from death and sin, so that Christ can shine on us. Imagine the joy of a man who had been blind, who could now see. But imagine his greater joy when he looked in the face of the one who is the Son of Man. This is Laetare Sunday. This is a Sunday when we are called to lift up our eyes, lift up our hearts, and to sing with Isaiah, Rejoice, Jerusalem, and all who love her. Be joyful, all who were in mourning. When we see Jesus for who he truly is, we are indeed lifted from our sorrow and mourning because we see the one who is the Son of Man, the light of the world.